You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Aotearoa continues to have one of the highest leptospirosis rates among developed countries, with flooding, notably the Hawke's Bay floods in 2023, being one of the main catalysts. A recent study shows that other causes include exposure to rodents, working with uncovered cuts, and handling of livestock. The carried lepto strains are currently not protected by any existing vaccines. Last week, I spoke to researcher and epidemiologist Professor Jackie Benshop from Massey University about the disease and what needs to be done. For those that aren't familiar with the disease, can you explain what leptospirosis is?
Leptospirosis, and I'll call it lepto, it's a disease that people get from animals. Animals can get it too, but we're going to just talk today about the disease in people. And it's nasty. People who get it tend to present with three things together: a high fever, extreme fatigue, and a pounding headache. And 60% of people who get this disease end up going to hospital. They stay on average for 4 or 5 nights, and in one of the surveys that we've done, half of the people are still not right a year later. So it has a long recovery, and it's also a nasty disease early on. In New Zealand, there's a strong occupational pattern to lepto because people get it from animals. We tend to see more cases in people exposed to animals, farmers and meat workers.
How does flooding affect the risk of lepto?
Yeah, that's a great question, because this is something very well recognised overseas, but only recently recognised here in Aotearoa. Overseas, the most common associated animal with leptospirosis is rats. In fact, it can be called, you know, rat-borne fever. We certainly see an association with rodents here, but we more largely see an association with livestock. But flooding is really interesting. First of all, flooding brings animals and people to higher ground together. Flooding also can damage people's skin, say on their legs and hands, and that's how the leptobacteria gets into people. Through cuts and cracks in the skin, or just through skin that's soggy or damaged. Other things that happen in flooding, we often pile up, and you might recall seeing this, understandably why we do this after floods. We pile up rubbish that's been damaged by floods, household goods, damaged food and so on. We bring it all together to get picked up by a dumpster. That creates a place for rodents to proliferate and for rodents, you know, to eat, find each other and to make more rodents. So you tend to see an increase in rodents after flooding, and they carry the lepto bug. But there's different strains of lepto. In New Zealand, there are strains in our domestic animals, particularly the ruminants, sheep, cattle and deer. And we saw this in Hawke's Bay. The leptobacteria really likes the water. It swims, and it's actually not the most hardy bacteria. It's not that difficult to kill or get rid of necessarily, but when it's released from animals and it's in the environment, if the sun's on it, it'll die away. But if it's a moist environment, the bacteria will move around and be quite happy to live for quite some time in water or mud. And as I say, in Hawke's Bay, we saw outbreaks of lepto both in sheep and cattle, but also in humans after the floods. So the flooding really adds a complexity to this disease.
And how does exposure to rodents or livestock contribute to lepto outbreaks?
Yeah, well, lepto is an interesting disease, and that really the only way people can get it is from the urine of animals being exposed to that, either and the bacteria that's in there, or through contaminated water. In this country, those livestock and pests, rodents, possums, you know, the mustelids, they carry the lepto. So the how is interesting. It can be direct. You're standing behind a cow, perhaps putting the cups on and milking her, and of course she might urinate on you, or you're assisting a female animal and birthing an animal, and there could be some urine contamination there. Other exposures, if you are dressing a carcass or handling kidneys, there can be urine contamination onto your skin or splashing up into your face. If you're emptying traps or dealing with rodents or possums, skinning or dealing with any animals that you might hunt, it's the urine that you really have to watch out for. And understandably, even though we recommend wearing gloves, we recommend covering wounds for these reasons, it doesn't take many of these leptobacteria to enter a person, and then depending on other factors around the person, they can become very unwell within a week or two after that.
What steps do public health officials need to take to address the outbreak? And do you think that a vaccine will be developed?
Yeah, we'll talk about the public health officials first and then move to the vaccine. In terms of public health, we're really fortunate. We're here at the Vet School. We're really highly linked with each of the public health units, and they connect with us. In fact, it was actually a really nice sign of that connection when not that long after Cyclone Gabrielle, both public and Māori health in Hawke's Bay connected with us and said, actually, we think we're probably going to see some lepto because we've worked with them before. Together with them, we developed material and advice both for GPs and for the general public about keeping themselves safe. So public health have a huge role to play there. And in fact, even more recently in the terrible floods in Nelson Tasman, public health people got in touch with us too around messaging and around keeping people safe. Things that might include, say, if people are out, say, gathering kai in waterways, or if there's food that's been contaminated with flood water, just to be aware that it could also be contaminated with the leptobacteria. So that's public health. They work closely with us, and that's great. In terms of a vaccine, there are really good vaccines available for livestock and for dogs and other domestic animals. One of the issues with the vaccine, in terms of is there one for humans, is that the vaccines are kind of strain specific, and there are at least 7 different strains of lepto, and different vaccines, in New Zealand, they don't cross protect against each other. We don't have a vaccine for humans in New Zealand. There are vaccines internationally in very few countries for just one strain and in certain situations. For example, people who work in the sewers in France are offered a vaccine against the rat strain, but there is not a universal human vaccine available, nor a universal vaccine that covers all strains for animals. And that is an area of research for sure, but not in our laboratory.
How does this study highlight the specific public health needs of rural communities in Aotearoa?
Rural communities have specific needs, absolutely. I think the messages that we hear are true, that people are, particularly if you think about people, say, on farms or people who might be working, say, shifts, for a start, it's hard to get away from the farm or hard to get away from the chain to seek help. So in terms of rural communities, I think raising awareness, if possible, thinking about approaches where people can perhaps feel comfortable, whether it's an employment situation or otherwise, to recognise they're not well and to seek help early. Recognising that you're not well and seeking help early isn't preventing lepto, but if it's detected early and treated, it's very responsive to antibiotics. And connecting with it early would generally mean, and treating it early would generally mean, people are likely to have a better outcome. I think other things about rural communities I found really interesting, just talking with people and the work that we do with these communities in relation to lepto, is, I suppose, in some ways, just sometimes how hard life can be, how stoic people are. A lot of the stories we hear, and we have interviewed a number of patients, and they've said things, I got up in the morning, this is mostly men saying this, but some women too, and I felt really terrible. I felt like ratchet, they might say that. I still went out and did this fencing, this job had to be done, I had to milk the cows, and then it's often those cases that actually they get to the point almost of collapse. So I think there's that community level. There's also things in individuals, which means that there may be reasons why people, continue to work when perhaps others might be in a position where they can seek help.
That was Professor Jackie Benshop on leptospirosis in Aotearoa.
We'll be right back after the short break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.